Now the Bengals on top, and to a lot they in the underdog slot. But the fact is they're the champs of the AFC North. A playoff berth is what they got. Ain't had a shot since it was 2015. Time to play like they've been here before.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's producer from Brothers Comics. Welcome to the Who Day Over 40 podcast for long time, long suffering Cincinnati Bengals fans. Who Day, everybody. Our last state of the Bengals was looking back at the wide receiver position and how well the Bengals had drafted wide receivers in the past, and this idea that they could replace T. Higgins with just anybody else is really not that easy. And their draft history hasn't really indicated recently, outside of Jamar Chase, that they know what they're doing and who they're going to draft at wide receiver. So we want to look at today, like a lot of people are like, why are the Bengals so bad in the trenches? I can tell you why. And they're not very good at drafting, especially on the defensive tackle side and on the offensive line, which will be part two of this podcast. So today's state of the Bengals is the Big Daddy curse and the curse of the number 99, because both of those things are intricately linked together. So we're going to get into that today. But first, a little bit of Bengals news, and this is probably the biggest news that we could possibly have. It's an emergency pod, y'all. Joe Burrow is throwing footballs. It's been reported on various channels and confirmed by various other Bengals insiders that Joe Burrow is finally actually throwing footballs. Now, we're not saying that he's going out there and throwing 100 passes and all of that kind of stuff, but he's actually able to grip and throw a football. If you follow really him on any of his social media platforms or maybe his trainer on social media, you see him training there. He's been doing, you know, weights, lifts, all those types of things. You could kind of see that. You know, I saw one with him doing dips with, I don't know, I'd probably say maybe 50-pound dumbbells, you know, in both arms while he's doing dips with his, you know, his leg up on the weight bench. Like, I mean, so obviously in the strengthening phase, see him out there doing sprints, all of those types of things, which, again, he should have been able to train even while his wrist was healing. But news came out here recently. You know, it was confirmed by Zach Taylor that they hope to have him for the offseason program. And again, I don't know that he's going to be there doing everything that he's done in the past, but he definitely should be there and probably able to throw balls, you know, probably with that first rookie camp. And we'll see if they get him any new wide receivers to throw it to. But yeah, Joe Burrow throwing, it's the best news that we could think of. There's a portion of me that would say just keep him in a freaking bubble container until training camp starts, that he doesn't really need to go to OTAs, but he's not built like that anyway. He's going to want to get out there. He's going to want to show people that he's going to be there when training camp opens. So, yeah, I would expect video of Joe Burrow throwing to drop any day now just so, you know, he can let people know, because, again, that's just who he is. But, yeah, that's probably the best news of the offseason thus far. All right. The curse of Big Daddy Wilkinson. Now, this is kind of personal for me and for us at the Who Day Over 40 folks, because Dan Wilkinson, obviously a Buckeye. That's great. OH. He's also from my hometown in Dayton, Ohio. Played at Dayton Dunbar. You know, in a time frame that he played there was after I had graduated high school and Hutch as well. But at least somebody that we knew about, and, you know, lightweight on the low, low, low. I think he is like some version of a cousin of us on the twice, third, fourth time removed. So we were out, you know, invested in what happened with Big Daddy at Ohio State. And then, you know, he goes on to play so well, comes to consensus number one pick, All-American his last year at Ohio State. I mean, when he got drafted, and if you're on YouTube, you can see the cover of Sports Illustrated that he was on. Like, there was no doubt in anybody's mind that he was going to be the number one pick. There was no doubt about that. Additionally, it was no thought that the Bengals wouldn't pick him. You know, this was a done deal, fit a place of need, hometown kid, essentially coming home, staying in his home state from Ohio, from Dayton to Columbus, back to Cincinnati. Like, I mean, this should have been a match made in heaven, but it wasn't. So if you look at his overall statistics, and he has a very long NFL career outside of the Bengals. He played for other teams, you know, during the duration of his career, longer than he played for the Bengals for the four seasons he was here. He had an average NFL career for a defensive tackle. I think he played nine seasons. I think he wound up, you know, I don't know, maybe 50 sacks or something like that in the course of his career. It probably wasn't that many. But, I mean, you know, he did okay. Like, I mean, he was just an okay average player. but definitely not the pick that we were promised. We were promised Reggie White, and we got freaking, I don't know, Reggie Mantle, if you read Archie comic books. Like, it just wasn't going to match up here. And it was kind of terrible the way that it happened. But it really fully wasn't his fault. The team was terrible. This is the early 90s with the Bengals, you know, post the curse of Bo Jackson, you know, after the Bengals injured and ended his career. Like, things just went to shit in the early parts and pretty much all of the 90s. So we're going to call this the curse of Big Daddy because the Bengals have not drafted a defensive tackle in the first round since Dan Wilkinson in 1993. Okay. This is insane. It's an insane amount of time for the time that they have not drafted a first-round defensive tackle. Why are the Bengals so bad in the trenches? This is why they refuse to spend a premium pick on a defensive player. Now, they've drafted ends in the second round. They've done that. But a defensive tackle? No. The Bengals have a sweet spot for defensive tackles, and we're going to go over that tonight. And it's mostly misses. So in the time that Marvin was there and the time that Zach Taylor's been here, a period over 20 years, they've drafted 14 defensive tackles. And I'm pretty sure you know who the great one is. And then the rest of them, kind of a couple of goods, and the rest is all bad, average, and also rans, and a little bit of ugly mixed in there. All right. So let's get to it. Bengals draft Dan Wilkinson, number one overall. Of course, the Bengals had him, you know, he held out for 11 days because that's what the Bengals do. One of the things that people were concerned about with Dan Wilkinson when he came into the league, that he keep his weight under control. And an 11-day holdout did not help. And so he comes in that rookie year, not in the greatest of shape, but he played okay. You know, he did enough. I think on a different team, he probably could have done better. But 25 sacks in four seasons with the Bengals, 172 tackles. Again, not bad. It's not terrible. But for the number one overall pick, the consensus number one overall pick, All-American, Goat Killer is away from here right now. I would guarantee you that Larry Ogunjobi has more than 25 sacks in his career. And he certainly wasn't anywhere close to being the number one pick in the NFL draft. Hell, Larry Ogunjobi had probably almost 10 sacks with the Bengals in one season. So we didn't get the player that we were promised. And there's also probably a little rundown that you could say that maybe don't draft players to play close or near their hometown. Bengals are living that out now with Jackson Carmen, you know, hometown kid in Cincinnati, and just hasn't really handled it as well as he could have or should have. But yeah, it didn't start off well. Only got four seasons, didn't win. How many sacks does Larry Ogunjobi have in a career? Huh? 36 or 20? 26 sacks for Larry Ogunjobi. Come on, son. Awful. Anyway. All right. So on top of that, Hutch and I have talked about this a lot, about the curse of number 99, that the Cincinnati Bengals, whatever player picks the number 99, just bad shit happens to them. And it's really kind of going on. And Miles Murphy, I really wish you would change your number, to be honest with you, even though you're not a defensive tackle. You are stuck with that curse of 99. So if we want to look at some of the players, you know, in the years since this time, Oliver Gibson, an okay average player like in 91. Then David Pollack. That was the impetus of the curse of 99. I was talking to Goat Killer about this a little while ago yesterday, about how the game he gets injured in and breaks his neck, the Bengals were up 34-10 at some point. And decided with like under 5 minutes to go, we're still throwing the ball. And that's when Chad gets blew all the way up. And I think the Browns took it out personally on him because why are y'all throwing the ball up 24 points? And Chad gets blown up there and gets hurt. And then when the defense goes back out on the field, you know, Pollack decides to try to tackle with his neck, breaks his neck, and he never plays again. And so that draft of 2005 is cursed. You know, that's the Pollack, Odell Thurman, Chris Henry draft. One dead, one drunk himself out of the league, and the other one with a broken neck on your first three picks. The year after you won the division title, you know, that should have been the year that you were ascending with these great three number one picks who played really well their rookie year, and then everything falls to crap and you go 9-8. So that's another bad one. Tank Johnson had a cup of coffee with the Bengals. Nothing. Manny Lawson had two seasons of cups of coffee. Nothing. Andrew Billings, we'll talk about in a little bit. He was here. Christian Covington during the COVID year. Again, another Jag. Tyler Shelvin. No comment. Okay. Like, it's just cursed. And now Miles Murphy wearing the number 99. It's just a curse. That McDaddy wore 99 and it's been cursed ever since. No player has come in and made 99 their own to try to break that curse. And, you know, Miles Murphy shows some promise as a rookie. That's for sure. I think he had 4 sacks. Okay, let's see it. But hopefully he can be the one to finally break this curse, because it's been sitting there since Big Daddy. All right. So state of the Bengals. Why do they suck in the trenches? We're going to do the same thing we did with the wide receivers. We're going to break the categories down into 1, has to be drafted during the Marvin Lewis era and Zach Taylor. 2, the categories, great, good, bad, average, and ugly. And we'll go through those picks and see where they land in that part. And then we're going to say right now, before we even get to Zach Carter, it's too soon. Okay, third round pick 2022. It's a little too soon to make his determination, but it's not leaning in the proper direction. To be honest, he's definitely hasn't done what they would hope that he would do. And this is the other thing too. A lot of people are like, oh, well, defensive tackle, you know, there's a high bust out rate on DTs. I'm not sure, you know, how other teams rank in comparison to the Bengals not being able to find dudes. But remember, defensive tackles are generally the biggest dude at their high school and some of the biggest dudes in college. So generally speaking, they're used to going up against people and dominating them because they're so much bigger and stronger than everybody. But when they get to the league, everybody's big, everybody's strong, and sometimes that just smacks kids in the face and they can't handle it, and then they never progress beyond that. You know, and I think that's what happened to Dan Wilkinson too. He'd always been the biggest kid in the yard, and then when he got to the league, you know, there's big dudes there, all pros at center and guard, and you're not going to be able to bully them around. And instead of kind of working through that, developing moves, working harder, coming in better shape, he just kind of, you know, found a spot and a niche, and he just kind of fell into that over the course of his career. All right. So, again, same rules. Marvin and Zach era, only drafted players, no free agents to look at. Great, good, average, great, good, average, bad, ugly. And, again, too soon for Zach Carter. Let's go. All right. So, there's only one great. It's Geno Atkins. Like, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer for sure if he didn't play for the Bengals. He's got 7.5 sacks in his career. I think that's the second most for an interior lineman. Again, he should be going in the Hall of Fame in the next 3 years fairly easily. I mean, that's it. You know, he had, you know, what, 3 all-pro seasons, like 7 Pro Bowls. I mean, like, dude is just a beast. He was a beast. It's a damn shame that him wind up hurting his shoulder and he just didn't want to kind of play anymore after that, or he couldn't be the same person after he hurt his shoulder. But, I mean, yeah, it's Geno, and that's the only one that's great. Should be the next Bengal Hall of Famer, absolutely, and that's it. Round 4, by the way, in 2010. All right, how about the good? Hutch, thankfully, is not on here. I would say of all of those defensive tackles drafted, there's 2 good ones. I'll go with 1 with Pat Sims. He was good-ish. I had him initially in the bad average category, but he was good-ish. He's about a 4th-round pick. No, 3rd-round pick in 2008. He had some good seasons here. He left, went to the Raiders, had a couple of good seasons there, and then came back to the Bengals for a couple of more, you know, pretty decent seasons as a run stopper. You know, he did a good enough job for that. The other good one is Pecco. Hutch would dispute this all the way to the end of the earth that Pecco was a good defensive tackle. I don't think it's debatable. He was good. That's pretty much it. Yes, he did play next to a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro for several years with Geno Atkins, but he was good. He was just not good enough. I mean, that's basically it. You know, he was a big dude, wide base, Samoan. He had all that going for him. But just, you know, there were several times, again, where he would just get run over. But he's such a nice dude and person. Like, I think people forget a lot about, like, how good and nice, like, average goodish of a player he was. And Pecco was good enough. I know Hutch would hate to say that because he didn't like Pecco and thought he could be better, but I think he was good. So if you're sitting on the fence with Pecco and Pat Sims as good average, you got to be thinking, holy crap, there's a like 12 more tackles that need to be that were drafted over 20 some odd years. That means everybody else is bad or ugly. Yeah. Why do the Bengals suck in the trenches? This is why. Their inability to draft defensive tackles, and we'll get to this soon enough, offensive tackles, is the reason that they're in this boat where, like, shoot, we got to overpay for people to get them to come to Cincinnati because you can't draft and develop on your own. Think about it. This is a preview of the offensive line. Look at all the dudes that are on the offensive line for the Bengals. Only one is a drafted player. Look at the dudes that were the defensive tackles for the Bengals the last couple of years. Yeah, one drafted player. No drafted players. Okay? Like B.J. Hill wasn't drafted by the Bengals. No, it was a trade. They had to get rid of Billy Price, who will come up in this next podcast. Why do the Bengals suck at that in the trenches offensive line? Because they just can't do it. They can't draft and develop their own. And so, dang, why we got to pay all this money for these defensive tackles? Why can't we keep these other players? Because we have to pay money in the trenches for players that we are in this inability to draft. Okay? And we're looking at you, Cordell Volson. They're probably looking for a replacement for you. But since they can't draft anybody, they probably won't find your replacement. So, yeah, that's it. Good, Domita, Pecco, Pat Sims. That's it. Everybody else is flat out ugly, y'all. I hate to tell you. I don't even know if y'all are ready. The average bad. All right. So let's look at it by round by round. You had Clint McDonald in round 7 in 2009. He went on to have actually a longer career outside of the Bengals, but he's definitely on the bad average group for the Bengals. Brandon Thompson, round 3 out of Clemson in 2012. Again, just average, really. People definitely thought he had something, but he never found whatever that something was. He was just a very average. He could even maybe even go into ugly based on his draft position, but just an average dude. Devin Steele, I have a double star up for this. He's second round pick out of Penn State in 2012. I don't think we'll ever really know if he could have been a decent player because of, you know, when his daughter got sick. Because that just took all the attention off of football because he was so, you know, trying to be focused on that and helping her get better and becoming like her advocate and all of that. So I don't know that we'll ever know that he was would have been any good. But for the times that he did play, he was pretty bad average. And I probably could have stuck him under ugly, but didn't do it only because of what happened with Leah Steele. So, I mean, he's a second round pick, for God's sake. And he had a fairly short career with the Bengals, and once he left Cincinnati, he wound up with, you know, a couple of other teams, but very briefly, and never did anything for them either. You know, you can't even say that about Clint McDonald. He was a seventh round pick and wound up moving on himself. And then the last one, good, bad, average, Andrew Billings, round 4 out of Baylor, curse of 99. He wears the number 99. He comes in. I think we had better, bigger opinions of him. Like he was going to be able to come in, play that nose tackle, D tackle position, be a decent run stopper. And he just kind of was average, you know, like, I mean, he never really every year it was like, oh, you know, in training camp, oh, this is going to be the year Andrew Billings, he's going to be this dude and blah, 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 blah. But he never really was. He was just average, you know, and he went on to have a, you know, a career. He wound up signing, I think, with the Browns in free agency once he got a chance. And he had a cup of coffee down here with the Dolphins, too. But like, just an average player. And he actually still might even be in the league. I'm not 100% sure. Check on that, Goat Killer. Is Andrew Billings still in the league? With who? The Bears. So, I mean, he's even still in the league. So that makes me definitely think that he's averaged a bad if he's had now, what, almost an 8-year career, you know, after only spending the first 4 years in Cincinnati. So, I mean, that's fine. Average. That's what he is. And to bad. But look at this list. These are 4 drafted players in this era. Now, Pro Bowl. Some of these dudes could barely even start. Okay. and they were given the opportunities to. Marvin tried, and he knew that they kept having to draft these defensive tackles, and they just couldn't do it. And then even after his first year, after the first year in Cincinnati, remember he signs John Thornton out of Tennessee. You know, he was going to be the defensive tackle. John Thornton was average as grits as well. And then they were just on this constant chase. Oh, we got to find a defensive tackle. Remember they brought in Sam Adams, fat ass there for a year. Oh, we need this big fat run stopper. But he was shot completely too at that point. Like, and then they were just chasing and chasing and could not find a defensive tackle. So, yeah, just a hot mess. But, hey, y'all, it actually gets worse. Check out the folks for the ugly. Okay, Langston Moore. You know, he, again, another dude had a decent career outside of Cincinnati. Matthias Askew, fourth round out of Michigan State. Everybody thought Matthias Askew was going to be something. He was not. You know, Marvin, he was one of those kids that was kind of immature. And that's when the Bengals used to like drafting, talented but lazy people in the hopes that they could, you know, kind of fix them. And Matthias Askew never caught on in that regard. Matt Toanea, like he was wound up being a cut. Now, he winds up having a career with the Bears outside of the Bengals, but it's ugly with the Bengals because he rarely played. Jason Shirley, I think he went to Fresno State, something crazy like that. He's a fifth round pick. You know, these dudes they tried to convert. That didn't work out. Ryan Glasgow, I have the asterisks by his name as well because he got injured. And he actually showed some potential that first year that he was drafted in 2017. He actually has some potential. He's got a bloodline. His brother's, you know, the starting center for the Lions right now. He had the bloodlines. I mean, he went to that school up north, but we could overlook that because he actually was doing well. Then he tore his ACL, and then he just was never able to come back from it. And that's something people like really kind of overlook sometimes is that y'all don't understand them ACLs aren't a sure thing that people are going to come back from them. It's like, you know, I was thinking about him. And then what was that? Brandon, the dude used to return punts for the Bengals. What's his name? The safety. It was a safety for the Bengals. I can't remember his name. And he was a safety for the Bengals. He returned a kickoff for a touchdown, a backup safety. And he returned a kickoff for a touchdown. Huh? Yeah, Brandon Wilson. He tore his ACL and never made it back. He just couldn't do it. Like, so you got to be very careful. Oh, he just got an ACL. Yeah, those aren't, you know, surefire things to be coming back from all the time. Who else is on this ugly list? Tyler Shelvin. Ugh, that's bad. The first draft pick under Zach Carter is Rennell Wren. Everybody thought Rennell Wren was going to be able to do something. He also sucked, like, bad. There's Andrew Brown, one of the worst picks, a fifth-round pick from Marvin, a kid that never even got out on the field. I don't know if he went to Penn or I think he was an Ivy League kid. Terrible. Like, it's bad. All bad and ugly. Why do the Bengals suck in the trenches? This is why. 20 plus years and generously saying that you have three decent defensive tackles in 20 plus years. That's awful. That's awful. That's a percentage rate well below, I would think, of the average. And again, you have some bad luck with a couple of dudes, but most of these dudes just flat out couldn't play. Now, again, in the early Marvin era, I'm not sure if they took them a while to figure out the players that they wanted. You know, he was trying to kind of follow the Pittsburgh model, and it just didn't really work out because the infrastructure of the Bengals wasn't the same infrastructure as the Steelers. Later on, I think he kind of found a groove for some of the players that he wanted, but then for the most part, they just couldn't ever figure it out. It was just all over the place, and the offensive line is worse. The chasing of centers for so long under Marvin because it's just so bad. But that's part two of this. So this is Curse of 99. I forgot one of my favorite Curse of 99 players when we were on that page. Margus Hunt. He's defensive end, but people thought, oh, Margus Hunt's going to be this dude. He was what? He's from Estonia or some shit like that. He was like a football player in a secondary life, just an elite athlete. But it, you know, only had like a couple of seasons of football at SMU. He could block kicks, you know, extra points and those types of things. But as a defensive end, nah, curse of 99, got him too. And then he winds up, I think, in Indianapolis after he leaves Cincinnati, and then, you know, out of the league in a few years himself too. Just a mess. A mess. The 99 is cursed. Miles Murphy, change your number. It's not too late. Change it to something else, because you have a long history of bad things happening under this number. So the question becomes, and before we'll get to Mock Draft Monday here momentarily, do the Bengals draft a tackle in the first round? Respectfully, hell no. It's not going to happen. They're not going to break the Big Daddy curse this year, primarily because they need an offensive tackle, which they've had a struggle developing as well. So I know a lot of these mocks have, you know, that Byron Murphy falling to the Bengals, the second from Texas, or Johnny Newton from Illinois, dropping to the Bengals at 18. I just can't see the Bengals doing it. I can't. If they were able to trade back, maybe they would do it. But how do you not? They're not going to break the thing. So out of all those draft picks, there's 14 draft picks in 20 years on the defensive line. 9 of them were picked in rounds 4 and 5, including the all-pro Geno Atkins and Pecco. So that's where you need to look for your defensive tackle. That's where they're going to go. It'll be rounds 4 and 5, maybe on a hoot because we have that extra third round pick because of compensatory. Maybe they'll get one in the third, but they are not taking one in the first. You can bank on it. I'm telling you, I'm not a gambler, but you can bank on it. So yes, a defensive tackle rounds 3 through 5. Good luck. You know, if they're any good, check. So when you're doing your mock drafts, and we're about to do ours on PFF, although we can only go through round 3, you should be looking for people who were captains that and have 3rd, 4th, or 5th round grades of defensive tackle, because that's where they're going to draft it from. So respectfully, do not get your hearts set on any defensive tackle for the Bengals, because it's just not going to happen. All right, let's go to the simulator, y'all. So doing what I said, or saying what I said, we know this is going to have to be a 3-round mock because PFF is straight tripping, only locking their freaking thing down to pay site at this point. And we'll go in with the Bengals here and go ahead and enter this draft. I'm going to have the Goat Killer by my side to, you know, kind of see what we're thinking about. All right, we're not going to go super fast in this draft. I slowed picks down a little bit because I'm old. All right. So here we go, y'all. We're not doing any trades. Although, again, somebody's got one off the charts here already with the Bears and the number one pick. Come on, son. That's not happening. All right. Here we go. All right. You ready? Here we go. Start the draft. Ooh, J.J. McCarthy 2nd to the Commanders. Come on, son. That would be the most Commanders shit ever. All right. So let's scroll up and look and see who's gone a little bit. So Caleb Williams goes first. J.J. McCarthy to the... That would be awful. Drake May. And then Malik Nabers goes ahead. Marvin Harrison Jr. That would be kind of shocking, I would say. Oh, shoot. Jumped all the way ahead. Let's see. What we got? So where does Harrison go? Oh, come on. He goes 5th to San Diego. I would not like that. Jaden Daniels goes to the Giants. Rome Odunze goes to Tennessee. That would give him 3 decent wide receivers, but still not sure if you got a quarterback. Joe Alt gets to the Falcons at 8. They would be delighted. Dallas Turner to the Chicago. Fuaga goes 10 to the Jets. Could totally see that. Fashanu, the tackle from Penn State, goes to the Vikings. They don't take a quarterback. That's dumb. Brock Bowers, you know, Bengals, whatever, love, at least on the internet, goes to the Broncos, who also need a quarterback. Troy Fanatu goes to the Raiders at 13. Laysom goes to the Colts at 15. Quinyon Mitchell, the cornerback from Toledo that everybody loves, goes to Seattle. And then Lai Latu goes to the Jacksonville right in front of the Bengals. All right, so who's on the clock? Now, both of those players that I talked about, Jerzon or Johnny Newton, has a rank of 8. And then Byron Murphy is also there. And then Terry and Arnold, the cornerback from Alabama, is also there. That has to be a consideration as well Bengals do love first round cornerbacks. We've done this. Goat Killer and I have done this a couple of times already. We don't take a tackle here, offensive tackle, and you get absolutely screwed. But the offensive tackle that's here is Mims. Now, he has a grade 22 rating there, but he's still 22. So, I know it's not going to happen. I know it's not going to happen. I'm going to take Newton again and screw my whole offensive line situation up because I know we're not going to have that pick. We're just not. You can't pass the talent. So, I'm taking Newton. Hit the wrong button there. Oh, sorry. What happened here? There we go. Oh, for Pete's sake. Oh, did it again. All right. Sorry about that, y'all. Going to go back to PFF because I did not hit the correct button. And we're going to start this over again. Maybe they'll give me a better option because I did not like taking Johnny Newton there. Let's go. All right. So who's on the clock? And that looks very similar to the one we just done. I'm taking Newton. That's it. I'm not looking. That's it. I'm taking Newton. That's it. All right. Let's see if we can get a tackle in round two. Dope. Graham Barton went. So who's on the round, on the clock at round two? They're all gone. This is why the Bengals won't do it too. All the tackles are gone. Oh, you could take Ruke or Aurora there. He's a defensive tackle. But we already have a defensive tackle. We need an offensive lineman. I ain't taking no tackle from Yale. You kidding me? And see, this is why you have to take the tackle first. And then you try to get one of these fourth or fifth round tackles later on. This is it. Because you're not going to get a tackle at this point. Or you're going to have to overdraft and take Blake Fisher and hope that he lasts the third round. So what do you do here? You take the wide receiver. I probably take the wide receiver here. I don't want Roman Wilson, but I'll take Ricky Pearsall better from Florida. All right. 2 third round picks, y'all. Waiting for pick 80. Blake Fisher just went off. There's no tackles. There's just none. You're screwed if you don't take a tackle in the first round. You're screwed. Patrick Paul, you might be stuck with him. Dude with two first names. God, I hate that. Dominic Pooney from Kansas. I'm not doing that. You take the highest drafted player, and then hopefully one of them slips to 90. Who's the highest drafted player? A wide receiver, Javon Baker. We just took a wide receiver, though. Blake Corum, absolutely not. Or Spencer Rattler, we're not taking a quarterback. Take the defensive end. When's he going to get on the field? No defensive ends coming in and playing outside of an injury. I'm taking Trotter, the linebacker. That was a mistake, too. Still don't have a tackle. And there goes Patrick Paul. And he's gone. And there's Dominic Pooney. All right, so I'm going to cheat the simulator here. Yep, and we're going to do this one more time, y'all. And we're going to take a freaking offensive tackle in the first round. Because, gosh darn it, it's insane. Don't take the DT. You can't do it. You have to take a friggin' offensive tackle in round one. You have to. All right. So who's on the board? But what if they're all gone? Now, you got, you have to, you take Mims. You take Amarius Mims. Oh, shoot. You take Amarius Mims. He doesn't have to play right away. He can come in, play guard, learn, and then that's good. And now you try to find your tackle or whatever else in round two. All right. Oh, damn. This one, Zach Frazier, the center from West Virginia, dropped. So you could double up on offensive linemen. Roman Wilson's still there as well. Ricky Pearsall. Or you could take your defensive tackle and take Rook Arodo. At that point in time, you could take him there. So you still need a defensive tackle, but you do need inside offensive line help too. All right, so I'm taking. All right, so I'm gonna take. I'm gonna take Pearsall. Oh man, that Zach Frazier pick is looking good though. Because center, you can come in and play guard as well. I'm taking him. So two offensive linemen, and then go skill position. We still need a defensive tackle, which we have no idea what we're playing. We got two third round picks, and hopefully one of them you can slip in there. Again, Spencer Rattler still. There's Blake Fisher. To take three offensive linemen. I can't do it. I already took my tackle of the future, so I can't do that there. So I take. Now there's no wide receivers. Yeah, now there's no wide receivers. Yeah. There's no wide receivers at this point. It's too early for Michael Hall Jr., but we do need a defensive tackle as well still. You got to get a skill position player. I'm going to take Malachi Corley. He's a more of like a run you over running back or wide receiver. All right. Last one. So I have two offensive linemen, a wide receiver, still don't have a defensive tackle. Probably still not. Oh, look, Michael Hall. Taking it. There you go. That's it. What's my draft grade looking like, y'all? Should be straight A's. Straight A's. Oof. Malachi Corley got me. So two B's, an A, and a C plus. But look, Mims comes in, plays a lot. Frazier comes in, probably challenges for one of the guard positions, if not center. Corley, you have a wide receiver, and then Michael Hall joins your defensive line rotation. You can live with this. Not great. Michael Hall, pretty much a fourth-round pick, right in the hole of where the Bengals are going to draft a defensive tackle. This is where we are. Ugh. Rough, though. So that's it, y'all. We'll be back next time. Why the Bengals suck in the trenches. Offensive line during the Zach and Marvin years. Think about it. In the Marvin years, or excuse me, in the Zach years, there are no good people drafted on their offensive line. That's why they're all free agents, except for Cordell. In the Marvin years, he gets credit for one good one. Well, actually, he gets credit for several good ones, but they don't wind up staying because most of them are guards. And then he gets credited for one great one, and everybody knows, you know, that's Andrew Whitworth. But the rest of it, trash, basura, garbage, chasing it for 20 years almost. All right? So we will see y'all the next time with this offensive line curse as well. I'm not sure who the curse of that one is. It's probably the curse of freaking Andrew Whitworth because it really went to shit after he left. So we'll see you guys on the other side. Peace, everybody.